year that made me.
The year that made me.
The year that made me.
Hard bloke to pigeonhole our guest this morning. An art school dropout, a self-described recovering rock critic. He's a writer, he's a freelance journalist, he's a broadcaster. He's getting on a bit, too old to be an enfant terrible, but still a bit of a stirrer. He's spent a lot of his professional life chronicling Australian grassroots culture. Here's a hint.
Do you treat yourself or look at yourself as sort of a good Samaritan to new and young bands?
It would be nice to think of myself that way. I'm not sure that I am. I only do what my conscience dictates, really.
Right, well, it's dictating that you look after new and
young talent. It's just things that I feel easy with, things that I like, that I think should be promoted, whether they're big or not.
You know, right.
I think this is good, okay, let's endorse it or let's push it a bit further.
How wonderful. Back in 1984, our guest Clinton Walker, interviewed there by the late, great Donnie Sutherland. Clinton, welcome.
Thanks very much.
Donnie Sutherland.
On the brown couch it used to be,
wow.
Actually. And if we're putting years on things, that'd be 83, 84.
That's right.
Donnie
Sutherland, of course, a former jockey, wasn't he, before he got into the music TV business?
He was one of those guys, and when you were, you go to Channel 7 there, but like he was always punting. And this was before internet gambling, but you know, this was always going on. I think he ended up, maybe even did my local pub, you know, like DJing on Melbourne Cup Day, you know?
He was the thing. you started out.
There, but for the grace of God. Sorry.
You started out in Bendigo.
Yeah, the home of the Chico Roll. That's been in dispute, hasn't it?
I think the claim has been made. But from central Victoria, a real appetite for music, book, film. I mean, where did that come from?
Oh, really? It's sort of hard to tell because it wasn't in the house I grew up in Bendigo and Melbourne in the 1960s. And, you know, we had a black and white TV and saw things like Robert Kennedy going down and Lionel Rose winning the world championship, you know. So they were the sort of cultural references that I had.
The music thing of the late 70s and so on, which propelled so much outside and around music as well. And your career is I think...
Absolutely.
You know, part of that.
Yeah. I like to say I started out stranded in the suburbs, and that's a loaded statement in itself. And
it's kind of a Brisbane thing.
Yeah, it's a Brisbane thing. It's a Brisbane thing, getting on the Oxley line. And I got caught up in music, and I was really into art, and art was sort of more legitimate. You could go to art college, but music sort of took over, and it's just been a lifelong companion and, could I say, salve, you know, really, for me.
Clinton Walker's our guest in the year that made me, and we'll get to that year in a moment. But Clinton, your sort of most recent preoccupation, and this is just been part of the Melbourne Festival as a live show, is Buried Country, which has been a book, it's been an album, a film, now live performance.
Now it's a tea towel as well.
You've made it when.
Oh, look, no, I'm stoked about that. It looks great, you know.
That's a beautiful thing. That's kind of inevitable, I guess, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, look, Buried Country is something that along the way, and you do these things, but, you know, whether I liked it or not, this is kind of the way it feels. And what writer would not be absolutely delighted to have something that takes on a life of its own, sort of won't go away.
So this is charting Aboriginal country music.
That's right,
What's the link there between Indigenous Australians and you know, US-based
Well, look, that's the first question, isn't it? And you sort of go, maybe that doesn't sort of make sense, but it makes eminent sense as soon as you just start to, you know, rub away the fog on the window or whatever. You know, you can really. I start with singing gospel music in church with a great many Aboriginal people on mission. Certainly did the same roots of blues music, country music. It's kind of, you know, 20th century popular music is something that come out of the deep south of the US, and it was equal parts black and white. You know, and it was a lot more mixed. Always was than what the the kind of orthodox views of history will tell you, you know, And so when Aboriginal people in Australia heard hillbilly singers, as going as far back as the... Actually, they were hearing gospel troops, they were hearing hillbilly singers, whatever got to the areas, you know, before their records and all that. Hillbilly songs full of, country stories, and it's storytelling, and it's a guitar. You just pick up a guitar and plonk away. You got a couple of chords, you can start telling the story. And I think it was really a lot of that accessibility and mobility. There was access to what? Well, nothing else, actually, you know. And then when people like Slim Dusty and Buddy Williams and these sort of people started to tour stations and missions and all those sorts of things, it was a real thing. And I think Aboriginal people just, there was joy in music, I think, for Aboriginal people in a life that maybe didn't contain, a lot of other more joy.
And the buried part of Buried Country?
It's actually based, like many of my books, I steal the titles from a song. And that's a title of a song, which is probably quite an obscure song for most folks. But certainly in the early 1980s, there was an Australian post-punk band. They're actually a great band called Tactics. And they had a song called Buried Country, Black Blood on Frozen Ground. Try and sing that as fast as Dave Studdett used to sing. Black Blood on Frozen Ground. Buried Country.
Had a very particular voice, did young Dave Studdett.
Oh, man. You know, you had to like it or you hated it. And my year of 1988 is kind of, that's one of the reasons why that year is there, because... there were some turning points there, and I'd been involved with Aboriginal music a bit as a journalist and covering music, and starting to see, even for myself, look at this tradition here. Now, I didn't know that, and I call myself a music writer, and here's this amazing Australian story that even a music specialist didn't. I better find out about this.
You mentioned 1988, which is your year. Yeah. So let's cut to the chase, Clinton Walker. What happened in 1988?
Oh, look, I was 31. I had been I had lived my 20s as you really should. Which is behaving pretty badly, right? And I guess things started to change in sort of many ways at that time, and I can say personally, I did meet my wife, my beautiful wife, and we're still together really happily, however many years that is afterward now, that's one thing that happened. But I think. Being a decade on the hustings as a journalist, I could wish for no better teacher as a writer. And I've dabbled and touched on academic writing and other kinds of writing too that I do. But that was a great grounding in good old-fashioned storytelling and evidence-based and all that sort of stuff, you know. But I think by that time, I was over the lifestyle. I'd, as I say, lived pretty fast and loose, and I thought, but on reflection, I realised I didn't articulate or decide. It sort of stuff. Just you can see that things started to shift on reflection. I've never been a great one for having 5-year plans or this or that or whatever. I just. those shifts, that almost primordial shifts that can, I could actually get really cosmic and say I had to be 1988 in a haze that I remember waking at nights and feeling this feeling that was equally in the pit of my stomach and watching over from above me.
And you've chosen to represent this moment.
Yeah, I know.
Look, George Michael's Faith. Now, there are some in this organisation that will salute this choice. But I'm curious.
Others who may be horrified, right? Yeah. One of my jobs has always been, I've always felt one of my jobs is horrifying people. Maybe it was a bit of a courting song for my wife and I, actually.
Well,
we love
nice.
This song. She still does, and I still do. And one thing we still share is we love to go out dancing, you could always dance to dance. I mean, it's the, how could, George Michael had no right to take the Bo Diddley beat and turn it into a worldwide number one in 1988, but, he managed to do it.
Clinton, thank you so much. 1988, what a year that must have been, the turning point for... for Clinton Walker, author, music writer, social historian. Clint, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
And that song from 1988, as chosen by Mr. Walker, George Michael's Faith.